So everybody has an idea, right? And very few act. And there are so many opportunities to act. And so again, I'm going to mention Bailey. And she was sitting there and saw an opportunity, something that was near and dear to her heart. And she's making it happen. And very few people do. So make it happen.
Rich Westrick of the Tactical Athlete Special Interest Group, that's within the sports section of the APTA, had a presentation at CSN that was so good, I had to bring him and the four people that presented with him, talking about how you integrate tactical athlete training with a physical therapist into the community population. Take a listen. Rich brings some awesome stuff. Your first round is powered by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Plus, they got the gear you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Continuing our CSM coverage here at the Arias booth. I want to thank those guys for bringing us out. Always hooking people up with jobs all across the United States. That's what they do. They get PTs jobs anywhere. AURAUSmedical.com. And again, we just had a student ask, how much does it cost to sign up to get the jobs? I'm like, trust me, man, they're going to pay you. There's no sign-up fee. They're not going to nickel and dime you. They're just going to find you a job, and then that's it. Then you go do whatever you want anywhere you want in the U.S. So we are bringing back somebody who's been on the show before, Rich Westrick. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Glad to be here. Let me get a quick shout-out to the sports section, too, yes, for supporting this special interest group that we'll talk about today. And really appreciate everything they've done for the last couple of years.
Very quickly, how'd we meet?
So this was CSM in Anaheim. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yep.
2 years ago. So Jimmy, you know, not the best with logistical planning.
Not even.
Had a couple crates of some pint glasses that need to get to the event.
Ten boxes.
10 boxes.
Each box had 24 glasses
in
it.
So we just ran into each other, and you needed to get them several blocks away to the event.
On the map, it was like this close.
But
it was raining in LA, which it never rains. Raining, and I'm like, I have to get to this pub night over there with the glasses. And you had a rental car.
Yeah, so the I had a rental BMW 325i.
Boom. So I rolled in style.
So ten cases of pint glasses was a challenge.
Barely fit. But we got over there. But the thing we're not mentioning is like we literally have met like 20 minutes before.
Yeah.
You were just like, I got a rental car. And then you went to, like, go get it from the garage, and I'm standing there with, like, 10 boxes. I'm like, that dude's not coming back. I'm like, I just met that dude. He's not coming back to drive me 2 blocks.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Thought crossed my mind.
Just screw it. But so thank you for that. Yeah, I was still a student then.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Still a student. And now you got – now. Well, hold on. Since between now and then, I had you on the show. You've launched your own special interest group.
Yeah, sure. So that year, I guess, was actually the first year of the special interest group.
I think you were
group.
Getting signatures.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that year actually is when I had to go around and petition members
of
the sports section to allow us to create the special interest group.
Yeah. And then, so since then, it's been created.
Yeah, so you're legit. Forward, and it's arguably, I think, one of the most popular, you know, special interest groups in the sports section, and certainly has some of the best momentum, certainly with our social media followings and linking up with the right people. So it's been great.
Describe it.
Yeah, so the you know, we're calling it the Tactical and Combat Athlete Special Interest Group, and it's really designed to focus on physical therapy and care and promoting health, wellness, and fitness for military, police, law enforcement, firefighters, and then combat athletes, so martial artists, MMA, kind of a boxing, wrestling, grappling kind of things. So.
Yeah, I always want to be on their good side because of all I'm not really a martial artist or anything that. More of a let's taco this out over a beer something like that. But so you guys are you're here. We got more people to introduce for this show because you guys gave a talk. So let's intro everybody.
Yeah, so we had a great talk yesterday, and it was how physical therapists can enhance readiness for military, police, and firefighters.
Yes.
And so part of the panel for that talking, I'll just go in order that we spoke. So it was myself. It was Dr. Kristen Wilburn, who works for the U.S. Army Research Institute for Environmental Medicine as an ORISE research fellow down at Fort Stewart with the 3rd Infantry Division. Then next we had Julie Collier, who works with the Fairfax County Fire Department in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Yeah.
We had Casey Stoneberger, who probably looks like he can put the beat down on somebody like on the combat athlete side, right? But he works with the Denver Fire Department and was instrumental in starting their program there, and gave a great talk. And then again, I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again, but arguably I think my most inspirational kind of. As being part of this and just hearing it was Bailey Vale. So Bailey has a great story of being a student at one of our talks a couple years ago. Was that in Anaheim? Yeah, so in Anaheim when we were talking. And so Bailey was a student at the time, I think just graduated this last year, and started a program based off of what she saw during that talk.
Wow.
And it was amazing. So shout out to Kyle Sella for inspiring her to do that.
So we got five guests on. Where do we want to start? I mean, you want to go in order that you guys, because I want to talk about the presentation and what kind of you
sure,
all
yeah, let's
brought.
Go in order. So,
you went first, off?
Yeah, I started and I gave just a general overview, sort of like I have the last couple of years, but put more of a spin, almost like a call to action for my talk, right? And so sort of calling BS, or I can say bullshit on your podcast, right?
FCC. But
to some of the I guess arguments against treating these populations like athletes.
People do have what?
Oh yeah, well, you
what
know,
would
so,
it be? What would your
so,
argument be?
Well, so here are some of the conversations I've had, right? So and this is mostly with some of my Army colleagues, but they'll say, well, using the I'm sick and tired of using the professional athlete sort of analogy because the soldiers we get, they don't move well. A lot of them never played a sport. Some of them are just smokers and they don't focus on their whatever. And I said, that's my point. Right.
Thank you for making my point.
Right. Thank you for making my point. And oh, by the way, some of my colleagues, it's not necessarily their fault, but they are only really engaging, 13 or 14% of the Army. Those are the people that are hurt or maybe not performing well, and not factoring in the 80 to 90% of folks that are tactical athletes that are out there making it happen that never come to our clinics. Right.
Yeah.
So my whole point is, they deserve the resources. And I gave some examples of. So my favorite examples are looking at the resources that are available to high school football teams in Texas.
Right.
And so if you look at Allen, Texas's high school football stadium, and I think it seats like 19,000, something crazy, right? And then the Lake Travis High School football gym is better than any weightlifting facility we have for any of our brigade combat teams. And so that's one football team, and we're talking about more resources than a brigade combat team of anywhere between 2,500 to 4,500 soldiers has access to.
I mean, the other thing is like, look at college too.
The
weird is like college, the college locker rooms and the pro, they have it better in college. It's just weird. Where are you putting the resources?
Right.
It's
so
just getting
worse.
That's
sort of the point, right?
Yeah.
The point is I think that these populations deserve these resources.
Absolutely.
And really, from my perspective, once we started using the term athlete, a decade plus ago, that's when resources started to shift and people started. So I like to exploit that term.
Yeah.
It's like, let's call them athletes. And when there's a leader, say like a general officer in the Army that wants to call them athletes, say, all right, sir, great. Let's talk about your worst or your least favorite team, or let's talk about the shittiest D1 team,
right?
And the resources they have compared to what we have for our service members or our law enforcement folks.
So you change the frame of reference.
Spin it on them. Say, hey, sir, great. You want to treat them that way? Then show me the money, give me the resources, and let's talk about how to do it right.
Right. You get what you invest in. It doesn't have to be money. It could be resources.
Right. Or just personnel.
Right.
So the ratio that we have for physical therapists in the Army right now, which it's... things are shifting, so it looks like on the horizon it's going to get better. But right now we have one physical therapist per brigade combat team. So that's one dude trying, or girl, right? One guy or girl trying to take care of 25 to 4,500 soldiers, and you just can't do it.
What's the math on that? How many soldiers
I'm
do you
no
need to
mathematician,
see a day?
But I think it's 1 to 2,500 to 4,500.
But I mean, like, how many would you need to see a day? Like, you'd just be...
Right! Yeah.
You can't see them all?
You work 24 hours a day, and you're going to touch a fraction of the population at best, and you don't have a relationship with the overwhelming majority of your team.
Yeah. Wow. Julie, we met before.
We did, in Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia VPTA meeting, and I found out what you did.
Yep.
And my ears perked up because my dad was a New York City firefighter, and I was like, oh, hang on a second. What do you do? You are a what? So describe your role, your job a little bit, because when I heard it at the VPTA meeting, I was like, ears went up.
So I'm an independent contractor, but I work with Fairfax County Fire and Rescue and have for 14 years.
Yeah.
And it has been a learning process and, working with departments, as Casey can find out, when they're behind you, when they really see the big picture, they'll put the resources in. We're just in kind of a transition within our department, but it's you can continue to find ways in which to insert PT in the job site and at all levels of intervention.
So you've been doing that for 14 years, you said?
14 years, at least with Fairfax County.
When you started, was this a position that you applied for, or you said, hey, I'm Julie, guess what? I got an idea. Follow me.
I researched. I just went back to the occupational health doc and said, I know what the peer fitness trainers are supposed to be or what they're envisioned to do by the International Association of Firefighters and Fire Chiefs. So is there anything I can do? And he said, well, I need a PT clinic. That's the last piece of the picture that Fairfax County had not done for their firefighters is to have in-house rehab.
Right. Wow. Good for you. So what is a day or a week kind of look like for you you make that face, which means it's going to be a cool answer.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll continue with the same percentage of therapists to people we serve. I'm 2 days a week, and we serve 1,400 people. So that's the, one PT for about 3,000
people.
How
big is your waiting room? It must be huge if you're seeing all those people.
It's a gym.
Yeah.
It's called the gym.
Yeah.
Casey can agree with that.
Yeah.
Because that's the value of being in-house for not only injury management, but being front-end available as well.
Yeah. That's cool. I get super excited when I hear about that. I mean, I'm glad it's now a special interest group because it's cool. I mean, it's fun. If you want to hear about that, when you frame it like that as an athlete, and they are, and like I got super excited because four uncles, my dad, my cousin, all New York City firefighters. My brother works in corrections, so he's moving all the time, and he was in the U.S. Navy. So like for me, as soon as I heard about that, I literally was like, I'll sign that petition. I know I'm a student, but let's get it signed up.
They are athletes, and it also dictates that they need to be handled in a medical system in an athletic manner as well.
Sure.
Not spun around and treated slowly, but more efficiently.
Yeah. And I know just from the my uncles and my dad and my cousin, these are the guys who will probably go to work hurt. Because they don't want to punch out. Like they're going to just be like, it's fine. Where if you're like, hey, you don't have to miss work, but if we do this, you're going to feel better and don't have to miss work. Because I need you performing at 100%. You want to perform at 100%, not even just for you, for the guys sitting next to you. That's who you want to be there for.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do that without you having to go on medical leave. That's cool.
Absolutely.
So what was your part of the presentation? What were you?
From an occupational health perspective, I'm always looking at know your employer. So in my presentation piece, I really wanted them to know about what the fire service was doing as a whole, from the wellness fitness initiative and resources that you could grasp and understand and have language in which to talk to fire departments with a little bit more knowledge about what their structure might be or what they might have in-house or what they might not have in-house, but at least that you can fit in somewhere in that picture.
Julie, all I heard was know your audience. Have a conversation with someone. Make the conversation about them, and they'll talk to you forever, and they'll invite you in, and they'll buy you the next beer. That's the idea.
Yep.
Is how do we? I can help you, but let me explain how I'm going to help you, not what I'm going to take from you. I'm all give, and then eventually it'll come back because you'll see I bring the V word value.
Absolutely.
Love
yes.
that. All right, where are we going? We're going down the line. Kristen's up. All right, Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
So what was your part of the presentation?
I was covering sort of military history and how physical therapists have been integrated over time into the units and sort of where we're at now with some of those performance enhancing and readiness stuff and then hopefully where we're going.
What did it look like? That
history?
Yeah, like the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, so it dates back to like 1917 with Reconstruction Age, which were the OTs, PTs, and the dietitians. And then I'd say that it was really during the Vietnam era that there was a big change in physical therapists in the military really acting as those physician extenders as the orthopedic caseload was just too great. What's interesting is there was such a big gap, and it's probably largely determined by the conflicts we're in, right, whether there's a need for it. But in 2000, that's how long it took for them to actually be a physical therapist that wasn't embedded just in the medical unit. They're actually out with the unit. When you talk about know your audience and actually being where the site of injury is and intervening there, like it took us a long time to get there.
Know your audience, otherwise you're disconnected. And the person on the other end, they're going to be disconnected too because they're like, you don't get me. I'm wasting my time.
No idea,
You're wasting my time. But if you embed them, I know you. I know your name. I understand. I know how many kids you have. I know what your job is like.
Mm-hmm.
I know what most of your life is like. I mean, that's the thing. Your job,
or just the tasks that are required of your job. I mean, you'd be surprised at how disconnected a lot of at the medical side of the house, how disconnected an active duty PT could be to the infantry guy who's 18. What his job tasks are.
Straight out of PT school, I was working for an outpatient clinic in Alexandria, Virginia, and one of my patients was a Coast Guard helicopter pilot. So he kept telling me about neck stuff. And I'm a student, super nervous, you know, and just one of my first patients. And I wanted to do well because his job is important.
Right,
and
yeah.
I was like, what do you look like at work? Like, I can't figure out why the shoulder thing's going on. He's like, fly around and I do this all day. And I'm like, ding. You look out. So what I did was I just looked, you look down and to the right because he's got to look down where the guy coming from the hoist is. He's got to watch that guy while he flies the helicopter. And I'm like, okay, so you sit there.
You can't just say stop doing that.
Right. I can't.
Like,
right.
It's your job. Like,
if you stop
know.
Doing that, the guy doesn't get back in the helicopter, right?
Exactly.
Right? So he just sat there in neck flexion and side bending and rotation all day. I'm like, okay, well, I know why. So let's do some. I can't tell him to stop. Don't rice it. You got to go work. So
right.
We got to do some things to on the other way to get you to be able to perform better. And he's like, oh, well, that makes sense. I'm like, I know, but it took me like two visits to actually say, I'm like, you're a pilot.
Out.
What's that mean? I'm like, you fly things. Like, no. How do you sit? Where do your hands go? Where your eyes go? And I should have said that. Should have thought that earlier. But I'll play the student card for myself to put myself safe. But that's important. And I love to see. So where are we going?
Well, hopefully, it's in the proposal phase right now, but the Center for Initial Military Training up at Fort Eustis, Virginia, they are rolling out it's a holistic health and fitness, or H2F program, and it's the difference between it and a lot of the other programs that have been successful in the special operations community, like the Ranger Athlete Warrior and the Thor 3, is that it's going to hopefully change like doctrine and all the different components within the Army, like in terms of like, so you have to rewrite what physical training is, because we're training to the test, which is heavy endurance, which is not at all reflective of what the tasks are combat readiness wise.
So we know that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, but until you change the promotion structure that's based off the APTA or APTA, the Army Physical Fitness Attest, for example, you're not getting any of those changes. And so, so it's looking at governance. So how do you track it? How do you change it? It's looking at, the facilities that are required are going to be substantial if you're going to actually train people properly. You have like a facility to do that in. And the personnel is huge. Have a whole rehab team that multidisciplinary between dietitians, sports psychology, strength coaches, and also, I'm forgetting one other component of it. Oh, leadership education. Like they have to be behind it. If they don't care, like, then it doesn't matter. And so really what it's kind of designed to do is allow a lot of individual,
I'm just going to cut in. I'm smiling because I'm like, you can't tell at all that you're passionate about this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, can't tell at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love this stuff. I just feel like there's so much more we could be doing for service members.
Good.
And it's so easy to be stuck in the trenches. What Rich was saying resonated with me in terms of like them. A lot of physical therapists in the military here thinking that these aren't tactical athletes and having a problem with it. But like, man, they need it, you know? So, the key difference, I think, in this also, besides affecting all the different, like the governance of how it's administered, is that the physical therapist is actually designed in this proposal to be like the lead H2F officer at the brigade level, which is that 4,500 block of soldiers. And so they will be like the personnel expert overseeing like a 90 person team that's going to be like a human performance optimization team.
I like
so
those numbers better.
Yeah.
Those are getting better.
So that means that potentially there'll be an influx of maybe 750 more PTs required, and we're maybe around 200.
Get your resumes together.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah.
Now,
that's what I'm saying. Any great PTs out there that want to join the military or become a contractor?
Well, that was going to be my question just from there is you don't have to start in a military program and be a military PT. You can come in. Okay.
Direct a session. Yeah. So talk to your AMED recruiter, and I don't know how competitive it is right now, but I think we're looking, if it all goes through and it gets funded, there'll be a pull for more PTs.
It just got more competitive because now we just,
that's right. Well, I want that. We want the best and the brightest.
Where would someone go and find a recruiter like that? How would they?
So just go online and type in AMED recruiter in the region. I think there's like five regions for the country,
that's
and
cool.
Then hook up with them, and they recruit for PAs and OTs and whatnot.
So, love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can breathe now. There you go.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
You know what I needed is where's the pint at?
I know. We're
like,
recording
where's the
this.
Pint at?
We're
like, I'm like, this. I need a beer, guys.
We're recording this in the expo hall during CSM, of course. But I mean, I'm around till Sunday. I was smart enough to say it actually. So pints, they're on me.
We need to get some Abita, right? I know that's not the best, but it's we're New Orleans. When New Orleans do what New Orleans does.
I'm in. When in Rome. Thank you for that.
This is the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. Want to say thanks to our friends from RAS Medical Staffing for bringing us out to CSM each and every year. These guys have been there since pretty much the beginning. They get you a job. That's it. The end. They also hook you up with some Con Ed information. They've got all the details. You need help with your resume, interview skills. They've got you covered. New grads, seasoned professionals. Doesn't matter. AURUSmedical.com. Did a story about this next guy about a year and a half ago. Casey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jamie, for having us.
Wow. Voice is as deep as his biceps are wide. I like that.
Oh, please.
You landed a story in the news. I love when, you know, we always want to say getting in the news or something like that is usually the best publicity. And when you do it for the profession, that's even better.
Right.
And we saw a story about you and the program you're working in Colorado and Denver. Tell us about that.
Yeah. 3 years ago, the Denver Fire Department wanted to bring a physical therapist in-house. And I got that position, and I showed up, and there was a small room with a massage table and a computer, and they said, here you go, have at it. And from there, we've grown, we've added staff, we've got
heavy things,
yeah, heavy stuff, and it's been really well received by the membership. The city is very excited about what we're doing, the Department of Safety is very excited about what we're doing, and they want it to grow. So I'm really glad I can come out here and encourage any other PTs or students that have a passion for this population. Because it's the next frontier in our industry, I think.
Yeah. You skipped over some of the sexy data because when they brought you in, some math stuff happened in
right.
terms of improvement. Tell us about that.
So I don't have my slides in front of me right now, but the thing that we can say is that work comp cost claims are decreasing considerably, and we think that that has to be as a result of our influence. And also, guys are missing less work when they get hurt online. So again, the administration loves that because they're not paying as much for overtime shifts.
Yeah. Your costs are decreased.
Right.
Your employee satisfaction, I'm kind of annoyed when I get hurt and at work, and that drives me nuts.
Right.
But you're going to decrease that. Now you can come to work and go do anything you want to do at home, and we're going
right.
to decrease those injuries. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, my dad was a New York City Fire Department lieutenant, and I don't even know if I should tell the story, but he, somebody else, not him,
right.
you know, I'm up, like, going to work hurt. He was playing golf and wound up fracturing a rib.
Right.
And he's like, I still got to go to work.
Right.
And he
true.
Did. So because he didn't want to bang out.
True.
And so now with a rib, okay, we can't get you back there, but hey, there are some other injuries that we can prevent completely or reduce the instance of.
Absolutely. There's two things I'll bring up there. 35% of our caseload is work comp. And a work comp case is a reactive situation, right?
Pound a cure.
Right. 65%, the vast majority of our caseload is what we call direct access. Guys and gals coming on their own time to work with us. So we're getting to those injuries or those problems. We're educating and strengthening and teaching self-care to those people. And that's going to decrease their likelihood of an injury online. And it's going to decrease the severity of the injury online.
Wow.
The other thing I'll say is that when it comes to overexertion injuries, that's the kind of the big talk in our industry. That's how these guys and gals are getting hurt. It's by overexerting. The subcategory to that is lifting, carrying, and handling.
It's the whole job,
yeah,
right there.
Right. Yeah. Anecdotally, it's patient transfers. So these guys, it's not heroic efforts that are here that are hurting these guys and gals. So a good instance of that is at the training academy where we're stationed. In 2015, an overexertion claim cost $6,600 for a recruit. This year, it cost about $700 a claim per recruit. And that's because we're there, we're working with them. We're involved in their strength and conditioning, their physical education. And we're also offering them sports medicine services. And the other thing we're able to do is in Colorado, we can diagnose and treat and triage those guys. Hey, if that's just a sore shoulder, let's treat it a little bit, get you through, versus sending you downtown to create a work comp claim.
Like,
so.
Do you, like, Like, do you know how much, like, a Scott Pack weighs and a Halligan weighs and a Hook weighs? Like, that stuff, you know, even if it's food on the stove, it's a false alarm. You still had to go up 3-4 flights of stairs
exactly.
and carry all that stuff.
Right.
You're going to do more of that stuff. I mean, I used to go to work with my dad. Believe me, you know, the jumping out of window stuff, like, that happens rarely. But it does, and you got to be ready for it.
Right.
But it's the other stuff, man. I got
it
woken
is.
Up. At, I mean, I'd love to see some stuff. I'm sure you guys, I'm just geeking out now.
Right.
Just the lack of sleep, like, going to sleep for 2 hours, being woken up and startled, and then going from 0 to 60, and then trying to go to sleep again. Good luck.
That is the biggest. I don't want to call it a problem, but that's the biggest, challenge in the fire service is that sleep thing. And you know, I got to give it back to the brothers and sisters in the fire department because they work with it. And it's funny. I'll show up to work. You know, the kids kept me up all night, and I'll be like, "Oh man, that was terrible." And they're like, "Yeah, you know, I woke up at 3 a.m. and picked up a 300-pound person."
Right.
So I don't want to hear it from you, Mr. Right. PT.
The kids woke you up. Was the room on fire?
Yeah, right.
No? Then I think you're okay. Yeah.
But the sleep deprivation thing is real. Yeah. These guys and gals are at a much higher likelihood to experience a cardiac event.
Sure.
And the number one killer of firefighters now this year is now cancer.
Wow.
So, you know, those are bigger picture items. We obviously fit into that. Behavioral health is on the horizon. And so we got to tie physical and mental resiliency together.
Sure.
We, as physical therapists, we have to be a part of that for this industry. So it's a frontier. We're doing a lot of new things, and it's pretty exciting.
Casey Stoneberger.
Right.
Loving that.
Real quick, the thing I wanted to bring up, Bailey, I'm sure she's going to mention it, but she was very creative on how to get students involved in public safety. And as far as students and public safety go in the physical therapy industry, I think that's the next step. So thanks, Bailey.
He's your hype man. Bring me on. Come on, come in a little closer. Bailey's been standing here because we have 5 guests and 4 microphones. She's been holding like bicep curl the microphone the whole time. It's not a heavy microphone, but when you're standing there for 20 minutes.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, no, so these guys are giving you like the intro, the hype. Rich kind of touched on it in the beginning. You literally just made this thing happen?
Yeah, it was, you know, in 2016 at CSM in February, I was sitting in the audience and I was like, wow,
it's gotta be awesome.
I should probably do something about this. And it wasn't until CSM that I realized that me as a physical therapist, I actually could do something. And
right,
so,
but hold on. Then you actually went and did it.
Yeah, and then
I'm sure
I went
lots
and did
of people
it.
Thought that and thought, that'd be great. Someone should do that. But you said, I'm going to be the someone.
Yes.
Watch me. I'm going to go do it. That's
yes.
great. So describe it. What'd you create?
Well, so I created this thing called the Center of Tactical Athletic Performance, CTAP for short is what we call it, and it's at Idaho State University where I was a student. I started it as a student, and then as soon as I graduated, the department hired me on to continue the program. So
you made your own job.
I made my own job, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert physical therapist because, I mean, I'm not working.
When did you graduate?
In May.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yes.
like really? Like you're
yes.
you're green.
I'm
yeah,
so green.
There's fuzz still on
yes.
you. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I graduated and I just actually got hired for my first actual PT job.
Good so, on you.
But I've been doing this tactical athlete thing for 2 years now.
Yeah.
We've had 4 classes through, but we have a police academy on campus. It's Idaho Post Academy, and the PT students and myself are working with the cadets, providing their health and wellness education as well as doing their fitness,
yeah.
Their daily fitness. So. Yeah, we've been able to implement a lot of cool things.
I bet you people out there right now are like gripping the steering wheel or being like, yeah. So where can they find out info about it? Make sure they can get that.
Well, you can pretty much just email me because we don't have any published info really on
it. We
need
that. But
yeah.
give them the email.
Yeah, so my email is livkate, that's LIV as in Victor, EKAIT at isu.edu.
Yeah, expect an email or two, especially hopefully from some students. How cool is that? She's in the audience and then she does it.
I have to comment on that. So, you know, like we were saying earlier, so this is a third year, right, of the SIG. And from that first year going around collecting signatures and trying to really build it up on social media and just emailing people and trying to get in contact with people like Kristen and Julie and Casey and Bailey, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's hard.
Right? And it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But then when you're sitting up there and you hear the stories and the relationships that are made, and then somebody like Bailey telling her story, like reinvigorates you, right? And so it makes me think I want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So I have 3 more years as the SIG chair, and it really like makes a difference. So you're sitting there here, and you're like, you're wondering if it's worth it,
right?
And you hear one story like that, and it makes you completely change your perspective.
Yeah. So you're blushing, right? Yeah. Of course.
Yes, of course.
I gave a talk at National Student Conclave last year, and it was really like non-traditional careers in PT. And I mean, because I'm a radio DJ PT, that doesn't make any sense, but it does. It works. And I said the goal for that this talk would be 3, 5, 10 years from now, one of you emails me and goes, I was in your talk. Guess what I do? And you tell me some ridiculous career that you slammed together with PT. And I go, great. It was worth the flight to Portland. Like, that's it. All right, every episode we do, we end with shots. I know you wanted a pint of beer, but then we're doing shots.
This is the Parting Shot. Powered by Optum.
Optum Manual Therapy offers a certification in orthopedic manual therapy and a manual therapy fellowship program.
Now with locations in Dallas,
San Antonio,
Houston,
Scottsdale,
and St. Louis.
If you want to be a certified orthopedic manual therapist or complete a fellowship in manual therapy,
visit them at optumfellowship.com.
Parting shot of wisdom. So it's just an opportunity for you to have like one more drop the mic moment. Are you ready? We're going to go in the same order. Rich, first.
Yeah, sure. So the one parting shot I would say is that so everybody has an idea, right? And very few act.
Yeah.
And there are so many opportunities to act. And so again, I'm going to mention Bailey. And she was sitting there and saw an opportunity, something that was near and dear to her heart, because old Brandon Vail is a law enforcement officer,
yeah. Right?
He might not know the difference between carbs and fat, but... But she's helping educate him and the whole Pocatello, Idaho kind of police force.
Good.
And she's making it happen. And very
good.
Few people do. So make it happen.
Make it happen. Julie, what do you think? Parting shot.
Oh, well, and I'm on the other spectrum of kind of getting in early and not having as much kind of resources. But I'm learning from the newbies. And I really appreciate all the new energy to improve what I'm doing in the fire and rescue. So I would say learn from new blood.
Got it. Like it. Kristen's giving me that blank stare like she's like, I'm going to
think. Yeah, I got that blank stare. All I'm thinking is I had a lot of questions about how do you join. I know we just talked about that again, but I would highly recommend if you're even thinking about it, reach out and get some information at amedrecruiter.com.
Yeah. Perfect. Casey, parting shot.
Hats off to Rich and all the military PTs out there. They've been doing this work for a long time, and we're just kind of catching up. So I really appreciate that. I got to give a shout out to Christy Yarbrough. She's my counterpart, and she's a former Marine officer.
Yeah.
She does a great job taking care of our members, as well as Lieutenant Sean Brooks, who's our wellness coordinator. He's my other counterpart and supervisor, does a great job. Really appreciated being here. It was a good experience. If you have interest in this, in working with this population, it all just comes from a heart of service. So just keep that mindset and see what happens.
All right.
So.
Bailey, no pressure. Last parting shot. I feel like you're good with pressure.
Okay, so my last shot would be this is an extremely deserving population, and if you feel like you can do something, then just do it. And this is a community, the tactical athletes, you know, their community, so use your resources.
Yeah.
All of us are here. We're not trying to make money off of our secret plans and strategies. We want to share with everybody
Yeah.
so that our programs grow and expand across the country and affect more of the people we're trying to reach, which is those law enforcement, military, and firefighters. So
I would say drop the mic and walk off stage, but I own that microphone. But that was a drop the mic moment. Guys, I appreciate you telling the story.
Jimmy, can I give a shout out to one person?
Yeah, do it.
And so it's the person who actually inspired Bailey. So Kyle Sella, who unfortunately couldn't be with us here this year, was supposed to be. But Kyle's one of those guys that is making things happen. And he's also the co-founder of Movement Guides. So I don't know if you've seen their squat guide and their T-Dot mobility system.
Okay.
But he's out there trying to make it happen. And those are things that are being used by tactical athletes right now. And I think he deserves the shout out for doing what he's doing. And he's a name to look out for.
Love it. Guys, appreciate you taking time out. It's a busy CSM to talk with us. And I'm already getting goosebumpy. I know what you guys talked about is going to inspire some more movement and action. So thank you guys for doing your thing.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Want to say thanks to Fox Rehabilitation for bringing you the PT Pinecast. Fox Rehabilitation is a clinician-owned and operated professional practice of full-time physical, occupational, and speech therapists across 15 states with more than 950 150 clinicians. Combined, we have more than 200 years of clinically excellent leadership. Our mission? To rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people, empowering our people to facilitate and provide clinically excellent care to our clients, allowing them to achieve what they once thought impossible. Are you a fit for Fox? Find out at foxrehab.org.